March Meatness is here, and Good Ranchers has your chance to win free meat. Sign up and fill out your March Meatness bracket at goodranchers.com/March. And if your bracket is best, you win free 100% American Steakhouse quality meat for a year. Subscribe any day this month for free bacon added to your order and select your meat. Get free bacon, and if your bracket wins, it will all be free for the next year. And if you don't win, well, I mean, you still get free bacon with every order, and it's shipped free straight to your door. So that sounds like a win-win. Order today and use code Dana to get an additional $20 off your first order. A chance to win free meat, free bacon, and $20 off. It's madness. Head to goodranchers.com/March to sign up and fill out your bracket. Subscribe to claim free bacon and use code Dana for $20 off the best meat America has to offer. Visit goodranchers.com/March and use code Dana. That's goodranchers.com/March. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
I will tell you that the Gotaway number is a number that for a long time was associated with art. It was our agents out there actually cutting swaths of country and using, you know, footprints as an indicator as to what we were seeing out there. That was our situational awareness. With the investments that this Congress has made into the Border Patrol, CBP as a whole, we have greater situational awareness now than I've ever had. My confidence level in that Gotaway number continues to increase. Is it 100%? No, sir. At 385,000 Gotaways so far this fiscal year, we continue to refine that number.
Control versus actual the ability to thwart illegal crossings. I hear that's the voice of former Border Patrol Chief of South Texas, Cool Raul Ortiz, as I lovingly referred to him. He's an old friend of our station here in South Texas. Welcome to the Dana Show for a Wednesday. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. And Dana's taking a few vacation days and spending time with the family on this, what we call Texas Week. It's vacation time for high school and small kids going to school and universities here in Texas. Big spring break taking place right now. So that audio that you just heard is from Raul Ortiz. He is now the National Border Patrol Chief. It's a little bit of dancing of the words with the words in, like operational control of the border, yeah, versus prevention or being able to catch individuals who get away. 358,000 known gotaways, people who make the effort, make sure not to get caught. See, I know you hear a smattering of border news every now and then, but here on the South Texas border, on the entire Southwest border, the issue is folks who come across illegally, gaming the asylum system, waiting for Border Patrol to show up and take their information and get them to a non-government organization, Catholic Charities, Methodist Charities, or whoever it is out there providing new socks, showers, a bowl of soup, Salvation Army, a bowl of soup, and then eventually through other funding, either government funding or other organizations providing to some of these charities, bus tickets or plane tickets for all these illegal immigrants who get a ticket to stay in this country, to the tune of millions of individuals that have come across thanks to Joe Biden, who is definitely relaxed. I mean, you can't relax it any more than what it is right now. This is border law enforcement on Valium under the Biden administration, reversed everything that worked under Donald Trump. That audio that you just heard, that's from down the street. I'm broadcasting the Dana Show. We're broadcasting. I ain't doing nothing. I'm just flapping my gums here. We're broadcasting the Dana Show from the U.S.-Mexican border, from McAllen, Texas. This is what I refer to as the Southern Command for the Dana Show, the studios of KURV affiliate here in South Texas. And this hearing, these Republican lawmakers, and my understanding is it is all pretty much Republicans. I think it's pretty much all Republicans. There was a audio cut on this meeting that's taking place between some lawmakers and folks from Homeland Security and Border Patrol talking about the operational control of the border. Define it as you wish. I mean, what do those words mean? Well, to me, you can say you have operational control, like what, control of the numbers? But because you're not controlling people. You're not controlling the illegal entry. It's happening on a daily basis. And to say you have 358,000 gotaways, again, I was pointing out the difference between these populations. You got the people gaming the asylum system, crossing the border illegally, bringing kids with them, getting a ticket, bus ticket or plane ticket to come to the country, to the tune of millions of people under Joe Biden. And then those big population groups, those big border crossers, distract Border Patrol, distract in here in Texas Department of Public Safety, any other law enforcers, because they have to babysit these people. Down the river, you got the drug runners that are bringing in the fentanyl. You got the human sex slave runners, the criminal element taking advantage of the fact that Border Patrol is busy processing all these people, and Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz, who's now the national head. He was my Border Patrol chief here in South Texas many years ago. That's how we struck up a friendship many years back. He's now the national dude. And 385,000 gotaways. That's what he's telling lawmakers. That would be, compared to the, 5 million people that we know have crossed the border under Joe Biden, have received all this, because in the first few months when he came in late January, right, in 2021, late January, on the 20th. And October is the beginning of the fiscal year. So between that month, immediately turned around the successful border policies under Donald Trump. He accumulated over a million. You add that to the 2 million for the first year, to the other 2 million the next fiscal year, you're looking at easily, 5 million people having come in. And then add between the beginning of the last fiscal year, October, and up till now, and millions of people coming in to this country. I want to say that this meeting might be lacking some Democrats, but I see the name here, Representative Green. I wonder if this is Al Green. From Texas. Cut 13, Steve. A little bit more audio from just down the street as the Border Patrol chief is meeting with some Washington lawmakers, meeting here in McAllen today. Go ahead, Steve.
Does DHS have operational control of our entire border?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you for that.
It's easy enough.
I'd like to share it with the American people. This is the actual definition of operational control that is in the code. Written into the code well before I came to Congress, the definition, and I appreciate the honesty of Chief Ortiz. Do you think that, let's play a video clip here. I just want to share this question.
That's Mark.
Will you testify under oath right now, do we have operational control, yes or no?
Yes, we do.
And we have operational control of the borders.
Yes, we do. And
that's Republican
Chief
Mark
Ortiz
Green. Yeah, that's Mark Green. He's the chairman of that group that's meeting right now with Border Patrol. So in contradictions, Secretary Homeland Security Mayorkas, this dude's completely either nefariously, he is mismanaging the Department of Homeland Security for political reasons, which would be just pretty much let anyone and everyone in under the Biden administration, or this dude, I have no idea how this guy got a law degree and got any job. If he's that dumb and incompetent Secretary Alex Mayorkas. That's, again, that was the questions from Republican Representative Mark Green. I want to say he's from Tennessee, and he's down here in McAllen right now. I was sharing with you some audio from McAllen. Thank you, Steve. Great job in grabbing some of that audio. National Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz, no, we do not have operational control of the border. And the old audio from Secretary Mayorkas just a few days back, yes, and we do have operational control of the border. And there, ladies and gentlemen, the mess that we are in here on the U.S.-Mexican border compliments of our incompetent Biden administration and all his minions. And I had this in the stack of stuff yesterday to share with you. I was just speaking of stupid and incompetent. This note from Mexico City. I buried it in the stack of stuff yesterday because it's just beyond ridiculous. It's one of those things that it'll make you laugh and then stop and shake your head and say, man, this is so sad. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador and Mr. AMLO saying that Mexico is safer than the United States of America. I saw the audio and video of this in the press conference in Mexico City. The temerity, the audacity of this moron. AMLO saying Mexico is safer than the U.S. Yes, I hear you. Yes, there is crime everywhere. Every country is not perfect. There are shoot 'em ups in Chicago. But we do regular updates. It's like Monday we come back to the newsroom and we review from Illinois, gun-free Illinois, from Illinois, from Chicago on a weekly basis. We review all the shootings in Chicago. Yeah, gun-free Illinois. Gun-free Chicago, all these gun-free. That's why we pay attention to that, because of the contradiction. You're gun-free, but you've got all this gun crime. That's why we pay attention to that in this country. The drug addiction, the drug deaths. So all these drugs, fentanyl-based, coming in from Mexico. Overwhelming majority coming in from Mexico. All this fentanyl, methamphetamine crap, killing Americans. As one policymaker, sheriff's organizations a few days back was saying, look, on 9/11, we lost over 3,000 Americans. In the past year, we've lost over 107,000 Americans to fentanyl, all these drugs coming in. It's time to declare an emergency. It's time to declare some of these, at least some of these cartels, terrorist organizations. And as I was saying earlier on my program, speaking of dumb, the White House press secretary, poor lady. I know she's still trying to catch up to speed. I know it can't be an easy gig. All these issues, trying to stay up to speed on all these different issues. It's like worse than being a talk show host. The problem is that the whole world sees you and see how stupid you are when you open up your, flapping your gums about stuff that you don't know. She was out there making the claim that declaring certain cartels as terrorist organizations, well, that doesn't add to our arsenal, doesn't give us any more power in going after these cartels. Yes, it does, dopey. Who told you that? Who told you? Joe Biden? Don't pay attention to him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Man, you declare any organization a terrorist organization. What's the first thing they kick you off of? Planes. You have no way into the country. Can you imagine a world where the federal government actually had to go after the cartels, at least certain cartels, as asked for by the sheriff's association, multiple sheriff's associations in our country, saying at least two cartels should be designated, that those are the ones that are bringing in 70% to 80% of the fentanyl into this country. If those two are designated as terrorist organizations, they could come off plays. They know who the commanders, the lieutenants, all these drug runners are. They know who they are. They put all those names on no-fly list. Nobody coming in from Mexico City, nobody coming in from nowhere associated, working for, owning any of this cartel business from those organizations. And then there's a potential seizure of assets and all these businesses that are on the front line, whether it's restaurants or car washes or taco stands, whatever it is that they're using to launder all the drug profits. The feds can seize that. Open up the investigations. Go after these criminals. But our federal government has yet to find the you-know-whats to go after them. Well, Mexican President AMLO saying that Mexico is safer than the U.S. It's comical, man. Guffaw laughing at when I was reading this. He just uses the excuse that there's crime in the U.S., there's crime in Mexico. There's a particular stench to the crime in Mexico. Don't forget, in case you're going to Mexico anytime soon, you pay attention to the U.S. State Department warnings of kidnappings, extortion, checkpoints on the roads. If you're driving through Mexico, you may encounter several checkpoints, each one of them shaking you down for some cash. You got some dollars with you, going to shake you down for you to continue going. That's cartel collecting money in Mexico. And God forbid that you become a victim of crime like the four folks who came in from South Carolina a few days back. Two of them got shot and two of them kidnapped. And the only reason, in my opinion, the only reason that these four, we knew about these four and became national news, and I have to say this in case you heard of this, because if you haven't heard of this, obviously did not get enough national coverage. Four folks from South Carolina came in a few days back, one going down to get some medical cosmetic thing, two killed, shot by the cartels, and two kidnapped. The only reason we know this is there was a fifth individual that stayed on the Brownsville, U.S. Texas side. Didn't have documents to come back, some ID And that person made calls to 911, called family, called everybody, got everybody involved. And that's the reason we have the bodies back and those two people back. Otherwise, they would have disappeared in the ether of the cartels in Mexico, the criminal element. It's 20 minutes after the hour. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash, reporting to you from South Texas.
Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowingTrees, 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. That's FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
The Dana Show, coming to you from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. One of the largest seaweed mounds in history ever observed in ocean waters headed toward Florida. Heads up to our family in Florida. They say it's a 5,000-mile-wide algae bloom has been spotted from space. And once it comes ashore, it's going to make a stink of things. The folks are trying to clean it up from the beach as quickly as possible. More weather-related stuff. Other affiliates up northeast. The first nor'easter of the season, dumping nearly 3 feet of snow up northeast, upstate New York, southern New England, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire. You guys getting hit. So if you guys are connecting through that part of the country, there might be some slowdowns when it comes to airline travel. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune with The Dana Show from her Southern Command in the RGV.
Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Over this pandemic, which is, people say it's totally over, but there are like 1,000 people dying from it still every day. I'm a little nervous because teens are in a lot of trouble. There's a mental health crisis. I've seen it in my children. They're in trouble now because they don't know how to speak to each other. And they were, you know, out of school and they were home.
Seriously, from absolutely the dumbest show on television, The VU. Thanks a lot, Barbara. Barbara Withith. Thanks for The VU. Thank you, Steve, for giving me a heads up on the name of this person. I don't watch that crud. Sunny Hostin is her name. Yeah, 1,000 people dying from COVID all the time. People die every single day from all sorts of diseases. And you know what, Miss Hostin? Why don't you pick up the phone, call the red communist phone back to China. I'm sure they love you up in China, all these communists. You might want to tell them to shut the country down again. You know, China's open up again, right? Did you hear that? I'll tell you more about that here in a second. This is the Dana Show. And yes, I'm not Dana. She's my friend, and I'm so blessed to get a call every now and then to fill in for her. We're broadcasting today's Dana Shull from her Southern Command in the RGV of Texas, where, as I mentioned at the beginning of this hour, we got a hearing taking place, mostly just all Republican lawmakers talking with border security people about the unsecure border thanks to, you know, Joe Biden. So, by the way, if you want to say hi online, it's Sergio at KURV.com, Sergio at KURV.com, or at Sergio Talk on Twitter. I'll go back and check that. So, yeah, the VU commenting on COVID still being deadly. And she made reference to her family, just anecdotal reference to, her, I guess, her kids and the mental health crisis that we have. We have a mental health crisis, and we do, because I've spoken plenty, had plenty of interviews with local mental health pros here in Deep South Texas. We have a mental health crisis in our country with kids because many leaders in states and counties across the nation, they blindly took the advice of Dr. Fauci. He didn't necessarily order a shutdown, everything, but all these strong recommendations, and let's shut down things for a couple of weeks to stop the spread. Let's shut down things for a couple. Shut down schools for almost 2 years. Some of y'all shut down schools for even longer than that. That's why we have a mental health crisis. It is so sad, so pathetic. Looking back at the 2020 graduation, the graduating class of 2020, it's heartbreaking. Look, here in Texas, and you know how everything rolled out. We got all these headlines coming at us, fast and furious, in January, and then in February, and cruise ships that were shutting down, and people on cruise ships getting sick. Some of these people brought to Texas, for example. They were brought up to San Antonio. They were quarantined from the rest of the population. We had this virus coming in from China, and, you know, we got to lock things down. And, you know, President Trump sitting down with his health advisor, including Dr. Fauci, and recommending, well, we need to stop the spread. My kids went on, it was 3 years ago. It was spring break. Right now it's spring break here in Texas. It was spring break back in 2020. My kids came home, and we had already been talking about the potential shutdown here in Texas and in various counties across Texas, like you guys were, whatever part of the country you're in. Some of you guys that are under the heavy, iron-fisted hand of Democrat politician rule, they were just salivating at the opportunity to shut things down and take the wheel, take control of things. You know, spring break, my kids never went back. All our kids did not go back after spring break. They stayed home, and everybody trying to improvise how to do homeschooling and online connections and try to finish out the school year. And the class of 2020, I remember those comically sad graduating class T-shirts. Every high school, right? Your high school, too, when you guys graduated, you had your own senior class. You guys had your own T-shirts with all the names of the senior class, right? Remember those? Years ago, I wonder if they still do that. They did it around here in 2020. The zeros in 2020 were toilet paper. Two, toilet paper. Kids never went back to school, stayed away from school for about 2 years. And it's that lack of learning for some kids, lack of daycare, mom and dad still needed to go work, make some money, whoever still was able to go work in essential jobs, couldn't see their friends, didn't go to prom, didn't go to graduation, didn't have their basketball games or football games or band practice, et cetera, et cetera. The lack of socialization, this disconnect, that's what led to the mental health crisis. Unlike Florida, that kept schools open, the overreaction by the rest of the country, and you guys remember the headlines and the commentary by all these meat puppets on the cable channels. Ron DeSantis, murderer. He's spreading COVID among his people. So tell me how the villages did out in Florida. The villages. All those retirees, all those old people, they did just fine because they knew they were the ones who were most in danger of getting the COVID and spreading it to everybody else. They weren't falling like flies out there. And if they were, I missed that headline. Excuse me. I'm trying to pay attention to the news every single day. They didn't. Florida stayed open. The population that was least threatened by COVID, kids, children, infection and death rate, infinitesimally small among them. And no one listened. No one pushed back. They just accepted the government edict, the county judge edict, the governor's edict. You guys ruled by Democrats and kept things shut down. And that's why we have a mental health crisis among these kids. I'm focusing a little bit on our health today. Because as I was telling you yesterday, towards the end of the program, I saw this Wallet Hub survey. You know, they do a good job at Wallet Hub. They do, I think they pay for these studies or they put out these top 10, 20 lists, whatever they do, to get publicity. And presto, you know, they win. It's interesting. For me here in South Texas, it's, you know, a slap in the face because it seems like every year Wallet Hub calls McAllen, Texas, where we're broadcasting the Dana Show, to South Texas, where the Mexican food is, oh, delicious. We have perfected Mexican dishes. We have the real enchiladas. We have the real chile relleno. We got the real street tacos. This is the real Mexican food. We just eat a little too much of that. And I'll be talking about that in a little bit, maybe how to change things up on the diet. McAllen, Texas, fattest city, according to Wallet Hub. Followed by, what was it, Memphis and Mobile. And I say it that way because McAllen, he's so good. The food is just so good here in South Texas, as is in Mobile, as is in Memphis as well. So we'll look at diet stuff later in the program. And I want to share with you a conversation that I had with a cardiologist on a different medical issue that y'all need to pay attention to. There's an ingredient in zero-calorie food and zero-calorie, like the artificial sweeteners. There's one ingredient that was in the news a few days back that if you did out here, I want you to know about. Let me tell you what. After I heard this report and had this conversation with Dr. Fahmy Farah, well, I'm going to share that audio with you right now, I stopped using artificial sweeteners. I stopped using, Truvia, that leaf-based artificial sweetener. Because there's one ingredient that a relatively smaller study came out with, which is, she says was pretty good, though, that there's a specific ingredient in an artificial sweetener that is rather sus. So let me share that audio with you. There was a study in the news on how a specific ingredient, erythritol, that is found in artificial sweeteners like Truvia. And Truvia claims to be more of a natural sweetener. I didn't see, that's the poke in the eyes. Truvia said, oh, it comes from this plant, these leaves. No, it also had erythritol in there. That zero-calorie sweetener that is found in keto foods and keto sugary powders might be linked to strokes, heart attacks, blood clots. Dr. Fahmy Farah, cardiologist, heart doctor, Dr. Fahmy Farah. Doc, did you get a chance to look at, flesh out that study a bit more? Because this is really concerning that maybe this artificial sweetener might lead to stroke or heart attack or heart death. What can you tell us about that study?
Yeah, it's a very interesting study indeed. For quite some time now, we've known that artificial sweeteners are not good for our body, for our metabolism and inflammation and things like that. But this study really clarifies it a lot more in terms of cardiovascular health. It actually, there's something called platelet in our blood. It's a clotting factor, and it enhances the clotting, the coagulation pathway of that. And so it makes blood clot faster, and it can go to the heart, of course, and cause heart attack and damage the cardiovascular system and cause stroke as well.
Wow.
So it's very, very concerning, yes.
So sugar's bad for you. You get diabetes. Artificial sweeteners are bad for you. Just drink water, ice water.
Yes. When it comes to cardiovascular, it really comes down to the blood clots, because that's what, you know, if your blood is thicker and it's clotting faster, you're going to have complications like strokes and heart attacks. And that's really what it comes down to when it comes to cardiovascular system. One interesting finding about this study is that you're right, diabetics are usually the ones that turn to this more than the general public, and it shows that diabetics are actually at higher risk of those complications using artificial sweetener. It's the component erythritol that is responsible for that, and the study found the higher amount of erythritol in your blood, the higher the risk of these complications. And you know, diabetics, they typically have kidney disease too. A lot of them do, and as a result, they're not clearing the component as much. It's lingering in their blood system, and therefore the complication is higher.
How big was the study, in this study that's published in Nature? Do you know how many folks were involved? How much of the diet drink were they swigging daily? What more can you tell me? What's the danger level?
Yeah, it is daily usage. It was not a very large-scale study, but it was. They looked at different populations, which I thought was really good. They looked at multiple different regions in the world. Initially, it started out with a small-scale study, but then later they looked at a little bit larger sample size. So I think it's a trustworthy study.
I suspect we'll probably see more studies related to all of these. That's a cardiologist, heart doctor, Dr. Fahmi Farah. Specific ingredient that you're looking for in, if you're using some of these zero-calorie sweetener, water sweeteners, erythritol. It's spelled E-R-Y, erythritol. That's what you're looking for. Thank you to Dr. Fahmi Farah for that interview. Here in Texas, one of the big stories in education, the Texas Education Agency, if you haven't heard, today said that one of the biggest school districts in the country, Houston Independent School District, they're going to come in and start managing stuff and take over, help out with operations. And I suspect that they might be moving in and getting rid of their board of directors as well. Major happenings. Houston ISD. And I got some Democrat Party reaction to this. Now, this is the Houston ISD, 40 of 50 schools flagged underperforming. We're looking at education and leadership at the district being likely to be removed here pretty soon. And I don't know when things are going to change on the front lines of education in our country, unless at the local level and you guys get involved. And I know it's time consuming, but especially if your kids are in an ISD and government run schools, man, I would hope that you guys rise up and understand what's being taught and get involved and run for school district. That's the bullpen for other leadership positions in state and national. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. We're bringing the program to you today from her Southern Command in the RGV of Texas.
Folks, are you concerned about American K through 12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arne. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
Reporting to you from the Dana Show Southern Command in the RGV at Texas. Who dat? Where is that? That's deep South Texas. That is the real South Texas. And Dana and her show, a radio program, and the TV show, everything she does comes to you from North Texas. Well, here in South Texas, we're the southernmost suburb of Dallas. We're only about 7.5 hours south of downtown Dallas. And KURV in McAllen, I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for us it's an honor to fill in for Dana anytime she needs to go on vacation. Other news of the day, legislation in the state of Kentucky prohibiting drag shows on public property moving forward in the General Assembly. And we'll put this one to one side. Tennessee has already passed the law. It's now in the books. State of Tennessee is now prohibiting drag shows on public property. And I know that for some of y'all, your libertarian funny bone might be kicking in right now, but this is way beyond First Amendment rights. This is a decency issue, and there's been plenty of litigation in the past related to children not being allowed to access pornography. If you did not know this, I mean, the world has gone mad of late. There are some I would call them demonic, just absolute lunatic efforts by some individuals to force into libraries a children's section, little books that describe sexual things from all sorts of orifices in the children. And these drag shows, and there's so much video, and you guys paying attention online, watching on Twitter, on Facebook, people posting these drag shows that are scandalous, ridiculous, and children are there. Who are these parents bringing these children there? And we're talking about men who look like women, implants, barely covering the nipples with pasties, hormone fat injection-induced thighs, like bubble butts, twerking right in front of little kids, little girls, little boys. Just crazy stuff. And sign of the times, crazy times we live in. We got lawmakers trying to make sure that none of this takes place on public land. And who are you people putting your kids up to stuff like this? From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are in tune with The Dana Show.
Kel-Tec innovation is back-to-back. You've heard me talk about Kel-Tec's P50 pistol. Now here comes the new 9mm P15 carry pistol. Quality engineered, the 9mm P15 carry pistol is the lightest, thinnest of its kind and Kel-Tec's first striker-fire handgun. And, as another first, the P15s feature a totally unique patent-pending 15-round extended magazine. Now, other features include ambidextrous grip, safety, reversible mag release, and the hybrid fiber-optic night sights with fully adjustable rear. That all comes standard. It's from Kel-Tec, inventors of subcompact polymer and now metal handguns. The P15's gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for easy, accurate handling, while the all-metal version offers comfortable but positive traction and a really beautiful wood grip panel. The P15 is the dependable firepower you need to secure your world. See the new 9mm P15 first up close and personal at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
Well, I think we've been very clear that were North Korea to employ a nuclear weapon, it would be the end of the North Korean regime. But again, our focus continues to be on working very closely with our allies and our partners in the region to deter
aggression. That is the press secretary from the Pentagon, Pat Ryder. North Korea in the news again every now and then, a little bellicose, little North Korea. I think most recent headlines were submarine technology. And if they got good enough submarines, well, they got close enough to the U.S. on the Pacific side and lob a couple of nukes in our direction. That was a concern and part of the chatter over at the Pentagon related to all this. It's suicide. And speaking of suicide, why more than likely in our lifetime or ever, why we'll likely never see a hot war with China. The U.S. versus China, toe-to-toe, a shoot-em-up. Why we might not see that at all, despite all the concerns and the headlines and the tensions being reported, all the different mechanisms, all the different triggers that need to be flipped before we start shooting missiles at each other, which would be pretty much the end of everything, if you think about it. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Dana Show. That topic, I'll flesh out a bit more with somebody who was a special agent over at the State Department, has many years of experience on this and looks at all the different triggers when it comes to actually, the last resort in the political conversation and political discourse. The last resort is, put them up, let's fight. And that situation likely we'll never see. That's coming up later this hour on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash, and Dana out this week and celebrating a little spring break with family. Get some rest, my friend. I appreciate the call. You want to say hello online, the email Sergio, S-E-R-G-I-O, Sergio, Sergio at KURV.com, at Sergio Talk on Twitter. when all these years that we've been talking about North Korea, just a quick thought on this. Let's say, just a hypothetical, in an alternate universe, somewhere out there, the trillions upon trillions of possibilities, in an alternate universe, somewhere a crazy Korea, dude wakes up and says, this is my last day to live, and he decides to send a sub this way and launches something way up in the atmosphere. A little micro burst takes out the entire electric grid, throws us back to the Stone Age for the next 12 months, bunch of people dying that are dependent on the electricity grid for their oxygen machines, hospitals down, food is down, medicine's down, millions dying in the U.S. And what would payback be? Like, how do you know? Would it be the U.S. like launching missiles from the nation's midsection? They're in the sky. They're in the sky. They're flying on the way over there. Like, I don't think that would be the way to do it, right? I mean, this is coming from a completely, just not even a novice. I'm just a spectator. I'm sitting in the stands talking with you, enjoying the game, right? It's just the news game, just eating my little peanuts and drinking my cold refreshment right now. I don't think it would be the U.S. firing back and launching. They're in the sky. They're headed toward North Korea. I think it would require, I think it would require getting close to North Korea and then lobbing something in that direction. Because, man, if the president would have pressed the button, get the nuclear codes out, and launch them, you see that plane out where it flies in the general direction of China. It flies in the general direction of the former Soviet bear, in the general direction of Russia, in the general direction of the panda, right, of China. How do they know it's headed toward North Korea and not towards them? And, you know, that opens up a whole new can of worms. So I think retaliation against a suicide-bent North Korea, they say, that's it, this is the last day, and we're going to war with these people. If they attack the U.S., I think it would be a slow response. Everybody would want an immediate response, but I think you need to get ships and armament, maybe even some nukes, tactical nukes, closer to that area, because otherwise I think everybody else would confuse it that it's headed towards them, right? Anyway, just a little question I'm throwing out there. Some of y'all have been in the military. In fact, you guys probably work some of these nuclear silos. I'd love to hear your opinion on this. Sergio at KQRV.com or at Sergio Talk on Twitter. Big news out of Texas today. We got the Houston School District, big old whopper, 187,000 student big Houston School District being taken over by the state of Texas. Texas Education Agency announcing that today's the day, and they might be getting rid of their chief, their superintendent, removing the board of trustees, replacing superintendent. Pushback. Let's say in the news copy, the standard news copy that's being sent out for, you know, all the, as I lovingly refer to them, all the meat puppets, they're ripping readers, just folks grabbing, reading whatever's out there. Copy says, local leaders oppose the proposal. Can you please provide us some names? Because the things are so desperate, and this woefully underperforming Houston ISD. You got a high school, every single year failing, not meeting the grade, underperforming schools all over the place. There's Texas, like all different states, you guys have your own grading system for schools. HISD, it's an embarrassment. It's been an embarrassment for years. Now, I've been doing this radio thing for about 30 years now. The accidental radio journalist, all these years of being, you know, reading the news and writing the news and editing and all, 30 years of that. Before that, when I lived in Houston, I volunteered with a group of local leaders. I was real, real young, very green behind the ears, but with our specific, our denomination and multiple churches, we were part of a bigger movement to try to save. Not exactly save for Jesus, you know, eternal salvation. We're talking about save from gang violence. Save them from graffiti and gang violence and on-campus violence. And Houston, well, I'm trying to say Houston ISD has been a mess for more than a generation. I was part of that group up in Houston literally a generation ago before I came to work in radio and make this a career of mine. I got to see it firsthand. The campuses that looked like, what was the name of that show on Fox? It was Johnny Depp. I think it was Johnny Depp, or was it some other dude kind of looked like Johnny Depp? 21 Jump Street, 21 Jump Street. There was a Fox show at the fledgling Fox Network where high school campuses, and it was full of graffiti. It seemed like most of the locker doors were wide open and destroyed. There's trash all over the halls. It's embarrassing in first world America for high schools and through Hollywood, almost like a celebration of these dilapidated, dark in pits of hell that is public education. Way back then, a generation, 40 years ago, I was volunteering with these folks that were trying to get in there and try to get to the bottom, provide some counseling, maybe look for alternatives when it comes to all these campuses that were failing across. And I got to see it for myself. It reminded me of that 21 Jump Street show where there's crime on campus, and I guess they had like an undercover cop. It's embarrassing. And you got the Texas Education Agency, that is the agency of last resort, come in there, the commissioner, Mike Morath, coming in there and say, okay, we're taking control. Superintendent, bye. You've had plenty of time to fix things. School board, trustees, bye. And see, the trustees, the argument by some local leadership is that the trustees, well, they have been replaced by other trustees as the few folks, and may I say, again, so sad, very, very few folks, relatively speaking to other elections, very few folks participate. They vote in school district elections. I know it's not sexy. It's not like a presidential election. It's not even close to being sexy like a race for governor and some of the high profile. It's school board. Who are these people? What do they want? What's their connection? And since you don't know, it's good. Since you don't know, you don't vote. But you need to know. That's what was my argument. You need to know who these people are that are running for your local school board, because they're the ones who make the ultimate decision on expenditures and help influence curriculum and provide the vision for the school district. And they're the ones who are supposed to be upset enough to say, this campus ain't working. Where's the school principal? Bring that principal in here. You're fired. You got to do something. We're going to get our top chiefs to look at what's being taught, after school programs, the tutorial programs, weekend programs, all those things. It's the leadership. The Board of Governors, the Board of Trustees, they're not supposed to provide management. That's the thing that I learned as a volunteer for one of the top charter schools many years ago. They're not supposed to provide management, but they're supposed to provide that direction, especially on the financials. But they can hold to account the managers, a.k.a. the principals, the academic managers, hold them accountable for failed campus. Obviously, they haven't done that in Houston. So at what point, how much failure are you willing to accept? What? Because you still got a way to go in Houston, by the way. You can go all the way down to Baltimore, Maryland standards, where you had, what is it, like about two dozen or so campuses that met zero on math proficiency, zero on other academic proficiencies in Baltimore, Maryland. These kids learning absolutely nothing. We are losing our youth, our greatest resource, our students. We're losing them because of apathy by the voters, ignorance by the voters, special interest, people who want to vote their people in to get the high school picture contract, the food services contract, whatever other gravy they can get from these multi-million dollar contracts for the school district. In the meantime, the children languish academically. They're dying. They're perishing. They don't have any marketable skills. They enter the workforce not knowing anything, worthless to the market. There's nothing that they can sell except maybe drugs in their bodies. It's pathetic. At what point is America going to get angry at the local level? Multiple markets that are failing to stand up and say, it's time to save our kids. Houston IND is the other. And I'm so sad because I call this man a friend. His name is Gilberto Hinojosa. He's a Democrat Party chairman here in Texas. Judge, he used to be the county judge down here. He's now the leader of the Democrats in Texas, just positioning himself politically. Gilbert, I wish you would position yourself on behalf of children and say, we can do better. Houston can do and should do better. They got too many failing schools, underperforming schools, mismanagement. He goes off on the Republicans. For a party that claims to exemplify small government, these Republican politicians sure have a strange way of respecting local control. Yeah, You don't assert local control until it's convenient to your political cause. Why to favor the unions, the powerful pocket full of money unions that pay for many of these political campaigns, all these Democrats being voted in, to protect them? It's pathetic what's taking place. This is not about politics, Gilbert. This is about saving our kids. And the day that we realize, by the thousands and all these thousands of school districts nationwide, the day we realize that something is pathetically wrong and that we're allowing unions to control everything, whether it's worker unions like in L.A. right now. L.A. is in the news. The workers, you know, janitors, all the other support services, they're threatening a three-day walkout. Well, they're going to shut down the schools because they can't get the salary. They can't hold taxpayers hostage enough. They can't get enough from taxpayers, and they're going to hold them hostage to get what they want. We need choice. Parents need choice. It is time for school choice across the country, but it needs to happen at the local level. You, parents, you, taxpayer, you need to rise up. You need to find out what's taking place at your ISD, and you need to run for office as well. It's 19 minutes after the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. We're broadcasting to you from South Texas, studios of KURFE. You want to say hi online at Sergio Talk on Twitter.
Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Resolve now to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. The Patriot Mobile 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
The Dana Show.
I don't do hypotheticals, A, okay. but B, look, I think this is an important piece to dive into because MSNBC has a very high standard of what is factual. You have to go through a process before you report things on air.
You recognize that voice? Jen Psaki. She's on the payroll over at MSNBC, yeah. Finish the sentence, Jen. It's high standard effects for Democrats. All the COVID lies, all the Russia lies. Yeah, it goes through various departments before you actually produce and broadcast the lie. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. This is The Dana Show. Let's do some headlines, Steve-O.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Another travel warning. This a reminder from Texas, because, yes, after a few days of high-intensity coverage, America and South Carolina being attacked, two killed and two kidnapped, and miraculously the ones who survived and the bodies returned to the U.S., all that news has disappeared. And we have politicians on the border right now trying to focus on violence. A warning from Texas Department of Public Safety. Don't travel to Mexico. Attention to the State Department warnings. Don't travel to Mexico. Hey, buyer beware. Travel at your own risk. Let's see what else is in the news. Shazam Fury of the Gods. I've been looking forward to this movie. Shazam Fury of the Gods, supposed to be number one at the box office this weekend. And just in time for March Madness, the big tournament. But by the way, sidebar mention, I think we got 7 schools in Texas participating. Well, that's really good. I hope U of H takes it all. Five slamma jamma. Coors Light. Offering a beer popsicle limited time during the March Madness period. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
No, but it all started with Afghanistan. When Biden got into power, he pulled out of Afghanistan, and that set everything else in motion. Obama's president Putin invades Ukraine, takes Crimea. Biden gets elected president. Putin's trying to dismantle Ukraine. The border is completely broken. The Mexican president is taunting the United States, belittling the Republican Party, claiming Mexico is not responsible for the poisoning of America through fentanyl, and our commander-in-chief is sitting around playing the fiddle while the world burns. So, President Biden, you're the Rodney Dangerfield of world leaders.
That's a pretty good line. Actually, it would be funny. I'm just thinking, no respect, no respect. But it's actually more tragic than funny. That's Senator Lindsey Graham. This is the Dana Show, hour two of the program. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Hot war with China. No way, says a new friend that I made the past couple of days. Ron Holloway, he's a State Department a special agent and has been looking at Asia, looking at China for the longest time. I'm going to share his comments with you in a little bit. Because anytime there's like tension, like Lindsey Graham mentioned the mess in Afghanistan, the mess that Biden created in Afghanistan, the extraction, despite all the advice, the good, sound advice from his general, he just plowed forward and he has this blood. Joe Biden has all this blood. The Afghanis were faithful to liberty, faithful to America, faithful to a new way of life. And the Americans that we lost, almost a dozen of them that we lost in the extraction and the exit in Afghanistan, that's Joe Biden. He's responsible for it. Not enough is said, and we haven't reminded the American people enough of how this commander-in-chief is no commander-in-chief. He's responsible for this mess. And then you got the weakness assertion of weakness on the international stage under this administration. And China, the tensions with China. And we ain't going to see a hot war with China anytime soon. I'm going to share those comments with you here in just a little bit. Thank God that the situations are all the game pieces on the game board of international politics and gamemanship, that's in our favor still, based mostly on the fact that we have superior technology. If you didn't hear, Meta, a.k.a. Facebook, Instagram, you know, the ones who recently announced that they want you to spend money to purchase a brand new shiny blue badge product, or they want to bundle and ask you to spend money on Facebook and Instagram. Bundle $11.99 a month for your computer, $14.99 on your Apple system or your Android system. If you're still on Facebook, like I still have one, Station here has one, Dana does Facebook, because we kind of have to, it's still one of the largest media outlets out there. You probably have noticed that the Karens are gone. In fact, they announced a few days back over at Facebook they weren't going to be policing as often anymore. So I guess, looking at that fact, that announcement from Facebook, and now this headline today, I'm guessing that all these so-called Facebook fact checkers, thousands of them are no longer needed, they're going to be fired. After announcing thousands of layoffs some days back, like 5,000 positions, now comes word that closer to 11,000 positions are going to be eliminated over at Facebook and Instagram, a.k.a. Meta. They don't need those employees anymore, and hell no, I'm not going to spend a single dime. I haven't advertised on Facebook. We haven't advertised on Facebook in the longest time here at our station. You don't like Facebook? That's one way to get it. Don't spend any money on their advertising. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash. Hot war with China? My friend says, I don't think so. Go ahead, Steve. In the news recently, China's foreign minister, Qin Gang, who I understand was ambassador to our country, he quite critical of Biden policy, U.S. policy, U.S. relations right now. In fact, some could glean from his comments that conflict between the U.S. and China, I'm talking more than just commercial conflict between the U.S. and China, is inevitable unless, he says, the foreign minister, unless our country changes course. So let me bring in someone looking at all these headlines. Ron Holloway is a former special agent and a senior advisor at the U.S. Department of State. Okay, Ron, so what do you make of the comments from this former ambassador, now the foreign minister, that seem kind of fiery and pretty tough when it comes to the stance between the U.S. and China? I don't know where he's coming from, because China needs us to buy all the cheap dollar store crap that's being sent in all these boats this way, and all the products being sent this way. We're customer number one. If they don't have us, they don't have their top client in factories and jobs. It's like we're dependent on each other. I don't see in my lifetime any fiery conflict between the U.S. and China. Do you?
So let's look at people's major fear is, are we going to get in a shooting war with China, and will an 18-year-old Chinese paratrooper land in our backyard? That's next to impossible. We're protected by two oceans, two mountain ranges, and if they land in any of the red states, they're probably going to get picked off on the way down.
That's
so
true.
To put that out of the way. And then also, you know, I come on these shows, and I want to give more than just speculation, but a way for people to look at international relations and look at this situation. So first of all, it's complex. An analogy to understand that, a Ferrari is complicated. It's a machine, different parts, special parts. You need a special mechanic, you know, manuals, whatever. But a Ferrari can be fixed by the right people. However, complexity is the rainforest. Things are always changing, they're adapting. And your approach to the rainforest isn't so much about fixing it as it is navigating it and adapting to it. And there's always something out of your control. So that's part of it. A way to look at this is also through levers of power. And the classic acronym is DIME, like the 10-cent piece. So these are the things, the areas the government can draw on. D is for diplomacy. What I would suspect, if things escalate from the diplomatic stance, would be kicking some of the diplomats out of the country. That would be a tripwire. Us doing the same. Information, that one is more cultural exchange. Military, you can send a message with the military. You know, we can move our troops around. They could become more aggressive in South China Sea, like they're doing exercises where they would invade Taiwan. A lot of that is theater. And then you have economic. And we look at economic. We can look at what part of it's banning TikTok. That's also a national security thing. Economic could be sanctions, could be tariffs, any number of things. So before we ever get to a shooting war, we have all of these other steps that would come in place before. And we haven't tripped many of those tripwires. The other side is losing face. Right now, we're causing China to lose face in the world. They have a public image, and we're accusing them of Chinese spy balloons, COVID, and it's become a big political issue as well, part of the political theater here of we have to be strong on China, and Biden's not strong enough on China or whatever. Those are some of the elements that make it complex.
COVID being the big one, let's not forget slavery, sweatshops, genocide. That one definitely needs a lot of attention from the world community, and it's not, but it's out there. The Chinese higher-ups, they don't want any mention that. They're used to a political culture, populations that bend a knee to whatever it is that the state wants. They don't want any criticism. So from their perspective, they see any type of criticism as an insult. Ron Holloway is a former senior advisor to the Department of State, former special agent. What is it that the Chinese want, this communist regime? What do they want from the U.S.? For us to be silent? For us not to shoot down balloons? For us not to criticize on COVID? For us not to criticize genocide and slavery? Why is this guy being so belligerent, the former ambassador?
I think part of it's theater. You know, they can't look like the U.S. just pushes them around to the rest of the world, right? Everybody's watching. And I kind of liken this to, if you ever see a guy in the bar who is acting like he's starting to fight, he's jumping up and making noise, but he's saying, hold me back, hold me back. The guy doesn't really want to fight. He's just making noise. I think that's what that strong comment is. He's just popping off, trying to look tough, trying to save face, but doesn't really want to mix it up. And you have to think about it. We're the most, you know, people tell me they're afraid of fighting China, but we are the most combat experienced military in the world. We've been at war for 20 years, most advanced. We have the world's technology. While they steal our innovation, we're the leaders of innovation.
Yes.
So even if it did come to shooting, we would probably beat them.
That was going to be one of my questions. We have a huge population of academics, doctoral students, doctors, their residents at universities, hospitals, other institutions all over the land. We have programs to bring these folks from China, come over here. I recall an incident, the FBI raid over at a Houston medical center just a few years back, a lot of proprietary information being stolen and shipped off to China. Just one example of potentially one be taking place all the time. Are we willfully being blind as a nation, allowing all these folks to come over? Because you're not a successful person in China getting a paycheck unless you are a good Communist Party member in standing. Are we willfully allowing all this proprietary information, all these patents, all the sensitive information at all institutions nationwide to be shipped off to China, allowing them to rob us blind while we should be taking a different stand and conducting investigations to make sure this information doesn't go overseas? That was stopped, by the way. The Justice Department under this administration was supposed to do something about that, and they didn't because, you're being racist and xenophobe, and how dare you accuse the Chinese? No! Hey, look back at what happened over the Houston Medical Center just a few years back. We cannot allow sensitive technology, pharma technology, mechanical, military to head over to China. We need to put a stop to this. We need to investigate this, but we can't because of PC politics.
And I would say one thing about a lot of these Chinese students and doctors, they're not necessarily hardcore communists. What happens is they come over, they get in position, it's not like they're spies directed, and then they get coerced by their government to give information. Yeah, we do have to protect our intellectual capital. That's been something this has been an issue through all administrations for a long time. And I don't know what the answer is. However, FBI does wrap up a lot of professors. This stuff doesn't make the front page news. A lot of counterintelligence stuff doesn't make the front page news.
I hope we're prioritizing that. Ron Holloway, former special agent, U.S. Department of State. I'm seeking his commentary on recent comments from the new Chinese foreign minister, former ambassador to the U.S. It's real critical of the U.S. and conflict with China is inevitable. And somebody else in the military in China said they hope to have hardware, bombs and missiles and planes and technology on par with the U.S. by 2050. Man, that's a long time from now. Does that say to you that perhaps the Chinese military isn't ready to go toe-to-toe with the U.S.?
Probably most countries in the world want to be on par with us militarily, but not as stringently as them. They're trying to be a superpower, moving beyond a world power to a superpower. And one thing about China that we don't comprehend, because we're such a new nation, is they're very old. And they have the benefit of seeing long-term. And then their administration doesn't change over every 4 or 8 years. So they're patient, they stay the course, and they could say something like, eventually, 2050. But the truth is, I think, so if you study Sun Tzu's The Art of War, two major principles. Big one is to win without firing a shot. The battle is won before the fighting ever begins. The other being you don't attack walled cities. You wait them out. So one of the basic elements of their strategy and everything. Their thing, their best bet is to draw division in our country between people on the left and right and make it more and more extreme. There's the economic way they could do that. There's a way they could do that with technology. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, because it can make us do stupid stuff. And a house divided cannot stand.
A house divided. That's America all the time, every election season.
Yeah.
Cultural wars.
And increasingly so. I want to say that we have great people working on these issues, the humanitarian stuff. Our diplomats are not just drinking martinis at parties. They're out there. They're in motorcades in Baghdad getting blown up. So we've got some smart people working all these issues that you raised, the humanitarian stuff, the human rights, all that. We need to keep that in mind. We got people who handle it, who know what they're doing. Really, going back to what I said, we're our own worst enemies.
Hear, hear. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate your commentary, your insight.
All right. Thank you.
Ron Holloway, former special agent with the Department of State. Look for his commentary online. It's Ron Holloway, former special agent at the State Department. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash. We got Florida Man coming up in just a few minutes. And parents on opposite ends of the spectrum, some that will never be Parents of the Year, and one fighting a feline to probably get a nomination for Parent of the Year. That's some of the Florida Man headlines coming up on The Dana Show, coming to you today from South Texas.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, got a couple of opposite end of the spectrum examples of a Florida man in the news today. One example from New York, a couple accused of dousing their one-year-old baby with lighter fluid and gasoline. They were truckers at a truck stop up in New York. In fact, that truck stop had reported some fires near that plaza, that truck stop plaza. Authorities responded and found this couple from Florida, these truckers. They had doused their one-year-old, trying to light the baby on fire. They went to the tractor-trailer rig that was parked nearby, and they found a four-year-old that had suffered several head injuries as well. Let's end on a happy note, because this note from Florida, a man out for an evening walk with his little kid, his daughter, who had a little puppy with her. There was a bobcat nearby that pounced on that dog. Dad stepped in, grabbed the animal, and that animal was pouncing on Dad, scratching, clawing, but it took one strong punch right on the snout, right on the mouth of that big cat. And there it goes, running away. So that's a better example of parenting from Florida. This note just in, Ron Holloway, if you hear his song, What You Won't Do for Love, that's a beautiful, beautiful earworm. You'll love that song. He's passed away. It's Bobby Caldwell. I'm sorry, Bobby Caldwell. I was looking at the wrong note. Bobby Caldwell passed away, age 71. And as I often described him, one of the blackest sounding white dudes in the music industry. There's a beautiful, soulful, bluesy type of voice. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
To pass universal background checks. Eliminate gun manufacturers' immunity from liability. And I'm determined, once again, to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines.
The roar of ignorance. My goodness. Surrender your liberties step by step. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana this week. She's taking advantage of some spring break time with family. And I appreciate you tuning in. Yeah, my reaction to Joe Biden and his new executive order. You know the gist of it? Just listening and reading up on this just a little bit. I didn't waste too much time. It is really a waste of time. It's the gist of it is Joe Biden going out there. He's appealing to the gun control masses in California, taking advantage of another tragedy, and never let a good tragedy, you know, go by. Take advantage, seize the moment. You got some shootings, recent shooting incidents. Southern California, speaking to family, victims, politicians that are like-minded. And the gist of it, do more background checks. The executive order. Do more background checks. Hop hop. Chop chop. Get to it. That's pretty much it. Dana, I saw Dana commented on this. She look for her commentary on Substack and subscribe to her newsletter. Dana is an awesome writer. Man, I know she's supposed to be on vacation, but she's just like worming into the news. She just can't put it down. She's addicted. It's a good thing that she's addicted to all the news, because she's constantly putting up her commentary, copy-pasting things that you should see in reports and analysis and polls and all that stuff. Check out her newsletter. On Substack, she posted something on this. Just, in my opinion, just another example. And what Dana was saying, the Biden people, Mr. Biden himself, it's a nothing burger, really, this executive order. In essence, it's just do more background checks. They got no idea what's going on. Joe Biden has no idea what's even in the books. And that applause, that clapping there at the end, the roar of the crowd, yeah, he's going to ban this, that, and the other. In fact, there was one TV station in Southern California saw another report saying that, the order, the executive order by Biden, it's a step in the right direction. Again, government coming in, doing something. You got to do something. Wasn't that the argument after one major incident, just was it a couple years back? You had, I remember John Cornyn, Texas Senator John Cornyn, other people saying, yeah, we got to talk with the other side. We got to do something. Well, why is it that always it's government that makes people feel good coming in and doing something, which in essence they're doing absolutely nothing. Most every single time the government comes in and does something, they want to screw things up even more. I mean, look at the gun-free zones that we have. And I was mentioning 2 hours back, first hour of the show, Chicago, Illinois. Gun-free zones everywhere. And Chicago is the poster city example of gun-free zones gone awry. The government going in there just screwing everything up. They got more gun violence. Because when you control guns, you've heard this before, you try to control guns, you're controlling the lawful carrier, the lawful owner, the law-abiding individual. Criminals don't give a flip. That's why they're criminals, because they break the law. And unless you focus on punishing criminals for committing crimes with guns that they're not supposed to have, and probably adjudicating this and throwing them in the hoosegow, throwing away the key, you're not going to disincentivize. And this whole thing about the rotating wheels, I mean, going to county, you get some charges and you're right out the door with PR bonds. All this, the soft on crime mentality by these leftist progressive district attorneys and prosecutors, they got it all wrong. In fact, it is because of the turnstile that we have at many counties with these leftist prosecutors that are not enforcing law, not punishing crime on individuals. And I would bet good money many of these individuals that are going through these county, these DA offices, these cases that are not being prosecuted for going in there and stealing a bunch of stuff, for attacking or vandalizing, or maybe as they tried in Washington, D.C., no longer prosecute crime for carjacking, things like just crazy ideas by the left because of social justice issues or reparations, whatever the hell they want to do. I bet you many times these individuals are unlawfully carrying a gun or rifle, and that by itself should trigger them being sent to the who's got, being punished for breaking the law, but they're not doing that. Do more background checks, And this TV media, Southern California, just exploiting. And I think it was a survivor of one of the massacres. Yeah, it's a step in the right direction. We got to do something. It's always got to do something. Government does something, screws things up even more. Enough on that. Look for Dana's write-up on this on Substack. Economic note for this day, retail sales activity falling back just a little bit, but still very strong, 0.4 points down month over month. And it was earlier this year in January, retail sales saw an upswing about 3% compared to the previous year. Warnings from the border, as you may have heard, and some, especially you guys who are running the Dana Show live, we're broadcasting the Dana Show from McAllen, Texas. That's the U.S.-Mexican border. And again, I need to emphasize this every time because you guys, I know some of y'all, I don't blame y'all. You're working for a living, driving around town, and you got a schedule to meet. South Texas, it is Texas. It's blessed soil. It's the USA. And as I shuck it down to the cob and I explain to people, it is the land of 911. South of the Rio Grande River, it's the land of nine Juanes. Those are all cartel individuals that are heavily armed like the military. They know 911 south of the border. They know trustworthy police, law enforcement south of the border. AMLO, the Mexican president, that liar, that coward, saying Mexico is safer than the United States. It's laughable, beyond laughable. It's ridiculous. We got 911 here. You don't, AMLO. Mexican citizens cannot rely on their law enforcers, their cops, their state police, because they are all in the pocket of the criminal element, the cartels south of the border. He probably is as well, AMLO. There have been, look at the El Chapo trial up in New York and all the testimony that should have been for many days top of the hour news. Testimony in the El Chapo drug runner, drug kingpin Chapo trial up in New York, how Mexican politicians, including presidentes, at the very, very top in the pocket of the cartel in Mexico. The stench of corruption in Mexico is absolutely unbearable. There is no reliable police and law enforcement south of the border. That is why you got multiple warnings. I mean, you got Department of Public Safety today here in Texas saying, don't travel to Mexico. You do that at your own risk. Yeah, good luck to you. Vaya con Dios, because he's the only one who can save you. He's probably going to be the one you see very soon. State Department, there are plenty of warnings south of the border for spring breakers. And part of the reason, for example, folks who came in from South Carolina, if you haven't heard, I have to repeat it again, because I just don't know what you guys know about news out of the border, from south of the border. Four Americans, South Carolina, one woman going south of the border here at Matamoros, across the street from Brownsville, where Elon Musk is at with his big old space rocket he wants to send into space, into orbit, right here in South Texas. Two shot dead by the cartel, two taken in custody by the cartel, eventually released because a fifth individual, this is my strong opinion again, it's the fifth individual that was part of that group that did not go south of the border into Matamoros that saved them. Otherwise, they would have melted into the acid that is Mexican crime, into the acid vat that is the Mexican cartels. They would have disappeared. We never would have heard of them again, much like David Hartley, his wife Tiffany, on Lake Falcon back 10 years ago. You might remember this case that had a lot of headlines. His body, he was shot on Lake Falcon on the Mexican side. The cartel got him and probably burned and threw his body into a big barrel full of acid to get rid of the evidence. That's what happened. Mexico is brutal. The war in Mexico is brutal. And it is media malpractice. New York and the glass towers of media, the assignment editors, the news directors, all the decision makers for the big networks and the big papers that don't pay attention to the raging war, the bloody war that has been going on for decades south of the border. Mexico is dangerous, amigo. And if you go and something happens to you, amigo, you're on your own. As they say in Spanish, ahí la libras, you figure it out. Unless you know how to quickly escape the clutches of the cartels and run to the nearest U.S. embassy and pray that they take you into custody at the U.S. embassy. Good luck. Pay attention, especially y'all who have kids, college kids, thinking about going to Mexico for vacation. You need to pay attention to that. I'm in Texas. I'm in South Texas. You want a flavor of Mexico? Come here. Just stay on this side of the border. You'll enjoy all the flavors of Mexico here at South Padre Island that you could ever want. Other border news. Oh, by the way, I was telling you here, McAllen, today we got the Border Patrol chief. He doesn't have enough manpower. We got 300,000+ gotaways. We got millions of people that have crossed the border illegally. It's the Republicans paying attention to this. And shame on you, all you Democrats, local here in Texas, South Texas, and at the national, shame on you on the Democrat Party side for not focusing our nation's attention to the problem of crime and cartels immediately south of the border. It is this ignorance that is perpetuated across all this beautiful land of ours. People have, they come down here, they have no idea how violent it is, just like that family from South Carolina walked right into the clutches of the cartel just a few days back. News that you need to know, I saw this write-up on a couple of lawmakers up in D.C., they're pressing the State Department to send out another warning to American citizens headed to Mexico to buy pharmaceuticals, to buy drugs at Mexican pharmacies. About 70%, it was the L.A. Times. Kudos to the L.A. Times, by the way. They did a study, sent some reporters down to Tijuana, and they bought some pharmaceuticals. 70% of the painkillers, 70% of the pharmaceuticals that they purchased, these reporters from the L.A. Times, 70% had methamphetamine or the deadly fentanyl in there. So buyer beware. It's 18 minutes after the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. It's an honor to be with you again today. You want to say hi online, Sergio at KURV.com. and on Twitter at Sergio Talk.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
From South Texas, the RGV of Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez in from my friend Dana Lash, taking a few days off for vacation time, spring break time. Coming up in just a few minutes, a conversation I had with a doctor friend of mine on dieting and proper dieting. And her advice is think bacon. Now, that's an acronym, but you want to lose weight, eat healthy, think bacon. And I'll have her explain that to you in just a little bit. Meantime, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Bye-bye, Facebook police, Karen. 10,000 people getting a pink slip over at Meta, a.k.a. Facebook, Instagram. Yeah, what is that standard email that goes out? Yeah, we wish you well in your future endeavors. No, I don't. Meta laying off 10,000 more employees. A few days back, they announced they needed to let go about 5,000 or 6,000 employees. I think because of other headlines, as I was mentioning earlier, Facebook said they were no longer going to be policing and kicking you out and putting you in jail anymore. And they're, in essence, they're saying, I'm sorry, right? That they stopped doing the enforcement of the so-called truth police or fact-checking police. They stopped all that. That's bad customer service. But now they want you to buy. Facebook is like the Ike Turner of social media, if you think about it. It's like, I'm sorry, baby. Oh, wait, let me make it up to you. I want you to buy an $11.99 package of Facebook and Instagram for your computer, $14.99 for iOS. Hell no! I ain't spending $1 on you whatsoever. 10,000 people going to be laid off over at Facebook. Yeah, good. You'll learn your lesson someday. Good customer service. Got some lawmakers up in D.C., trying to create new law mandating tracking, a new tracking system for high altitude balloons. All this, of course, with a Chinese spy balloon a few days back. I don't think we really need new law for this, don't you? Look, all I want is a jet go up there. Like, don't these new jets have like heavy guns on them? I want one bullet per one balloon. I don't want them shooting a $400,000 missile at balloons, popping balloons anymore. And that's how China's going to get us. They're going to run us bankrupt shooting down balloons. And this note from Arkansas, big hug and a kiss to my family up in Arkansas. A visitor to their Crater of Diamonds State Park found himself a 3-carat diamond at the park. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Does DHS have operational control of our entire border?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'd like to share it with the American people. This is the actual definition of operational control that is in the code, written into the code well before I came to Congress, the definition, and I appreciate the honesty of Chief Ortiz. Do you think that, let's play a video clip here. I just want to share this question.
Will you testify under oath right now? Do we have operational control, yes or no?
Yes, we do.
And we have operational control of the borders.
Yes, we do.
First up, the representative, that's Mark Green. I think he's from Tennessee. Mark Green, he's a chairman of that committee meeting here in my market, here in Deep South Texas today. A little suburb of ours here in McAllen called Far. I do that to poke at the mayor, Ambrosio, who never gives us interviews. A suburb of McAllen, Far, Texas. We've got lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, holding hearings with top brass from Border Patrol talking about the lack of security on our border. You know, every single Democrat on that committee bailed. Not a single one coming down here. That's Mark Green talking with Raul Ortiz, who was once the Border Patrol chief in my market. He's now the National Border Patrol chief. Yeah, there is no operational control. But then you hear the audio from Alejandro Mayorkas. Alex Mayorkas is the DHS chief. His boss. I wonder how much longer Raul is going to be the national chief at Border Patrol. being so honest about what's taking place on the border, because it's a direct contradiction, 180-degree opposite of what Alex Mayorkas is saying about the border. There is no control. It's a mess down here. And Biden is responsible, and the Democrats, you guys own it, apologists for him. All you Democrats who are supposed to show up and talk about this on the border with local leadership, with Border Patrol leadership, you guys, you Democrats, you have no shame, no honor. I dare say no love of country. You guys are a bunch of hypocrites. Crying about, you know, children in cages and families separated. It's a humanitarian crisis on the border. Shut up. Shut up. Go do something else for a living. You're ruining our country. Democrats are. There was a time I wasn't able to say that, but now today it's the chasm that separates the stupid, ignorant, radical, crazy left from liberty-minded people. That chasm is just too wide. We can't see each other anymore. It's just we're too far apart. News that you need to know. Which, by the way, stick around. We're going on a diet here pretty soon. I'm going to share with you a conversation I had with a doctor friend of mine on how you need to think about, you need to think bacon, B-A-C-O-N, bacon. If you're going to cut calories. This, of course, on the heels. Yesterday, I was telling you that Wallet Hub report that here, this area of the country, McAllen, we're number one. We're the fattest market in the entire country. Woohoo, we're number one. We're number one. Followed by Memphis and Mobile. So we're going to go on a diet. That's coming up in here in just a little bit. I'm going to share with you news that you need to know. Let's see. Moody's Investor Service. You guys who worked on director of boards, managing boards, you always hear about all the stuff you guys are financing and borrowing. Moody's Investor Service saying that the U.S. banking system has been, the outlook for the banking system in our country has been lowered to negative. Moody's Investors saying U.S. banking, our system, has now gone from stable to negative. Their words, this reflects a rapid deterioration in the operating environment following some recent bank failures. And they were very specific, some of the names that they put out there. Moody's warning of potential downgrades for Intrust Financial, First Republic, UMB, Western Alliance, Zions, Bancorp, Comerica. I mean, overseas, you might hear this on the top of the hour news, Credit Suisse is being eyed as the next bank that might be in trouble. Something from Zurich. I thought of Dana when I saw this little headline. I thought I'd mention this before we go on a diet. The French Bulldog, the precious little pooch, they're so cute. French Bulldog is now the new top dog in our country. According to the American Kennel Club, says that the Labrador Retriever must, after 31 years, must now surrender that throne. The Lab now is second most popular dog breed in the country, followed by the Golden Retriever, German Shepherd, and the Poodle. So the precious pooch, Dana's precious pooch, that French Bulldog, is now top dog in our country. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show. We're reporting to you from South Texas. Fattest market in the country, McAllen, Texas. Fatty Bill, what is it? Fatty McFatface, USA. It's McAllen, Texas. So we need to go on a diet. Let me share with you a conversation ahead of how best to do that. Eat less, live longer. Let me bring aboard Dr. Mary Warren, who can tell us a bit more about that. Eat less of what, Dr. Mary?
Well, I mean, you know, it's all about the quality of what we're eating. So, I mean, in an ideal and perfect world, we'd be eating less processed food, Sergio, and more, you know, real food, whole foods, like, you know, foods that you buy from the perimeter of the grocery store, you know, fresh chicken and meats, fish and vegetables, and, you know, a really good plant-based diet.
Okay.
So, I mean, that brings your quality up considerably. Yeah. But it's the thing about this study is in terms of being able to calorie or dietary restrict is it offloads a lot of the work that your body does to process, you know, what you eat. So all of us, you know, it takes energy, of course, to process what we're eating in order to digest, absorb, and then eliminate the waste.
7 or 8 years ago, I went on a diet because I was juggling too many things and I was all stressed out. So for my health, I decided to lose weight. I lost almost 30 pounds, between 20, 25, 30 pounds, as I went to an all-veggie diet. I'd get a zucchini, a squash, mushrooms, onion. I'd make my own little batch of that. I'd eat mashed potatoes every now and then. I'd eat canned peas, green beans, low-salt things. So I went off bread, off pasta, and I successfully lost it. I would say over maybe like a 60-day period. I felt a whole lot better. Digestion, everything was a whole lot better. But I needed to feel full. You know what I mean? It's like I ate big portions of these veggies, these grilled or sautéed veggies. I found that it worked despite the fact that it seemed to me that I was eating large portions of that all-veggie food. And no milk, too. I went on for bread and milk, and it helped
out. Good for you. Yeah. Great.
Of course, I fell off that wagon long ago, but I know it works. I know that worked for me. And so I changed up my diet. I try to limit my beef intake to at most maybe twice a week, maybe on the weekends with a steak every couple of weeks, something like that. Everything else is nothing but, you know, tuna, fish, chicken. You know, if it's meat, it's going to be something like that. But trust me, I'm a foodie, Doc. I love food. And
well, I think a lot of us do. I mean, there's so many emotions around food, right? I mean, and then a lot of us give in to our cravings. But, you know, you really hit the nail on the head, Sergio, a moment ago, and that is really try to reduce or minimize or just get rid of, like, the breads, the white rice, the pasta, and find healthier substitutions. Like, for pasta, you know, you can eat, you know, you can spiral cut vegetables like zucchini. You mentioned zucchini.
Yeah.
And even sweet potatoes. We had something last night with spiral cut sweet potatoes. Spaghetti squash is a great substitute. So getting, you know, more vegetables on board gives you more nutrition and honestly better calorie. I mean, math is what you're looking at when it comes to weight maintenance or weight loss. It's a math game. So, and I often say to people, if you want to lose weight, it's like the inverse of good financial planning. If you want to lose weight, your daily expenditure has got to exceed your income, right? So it's the inverse or the reverse of good financial planning. So, that's really the thing. And the idea about, to me, about the whole calorie restriction or dietary restriction is paying more attention when we're eating and pushing back to say, you know, I think I'm getting full. Let me just like slow down or stop eating.
Yeah, that's another thing.
And then see how you feel, see where you are. It's kind of a fun experiment to try. I bet you and I were raised in the same time frame where it was like, you know, clean your plate.
Yes.
There's children starving in Africa. Halfway around the world. So I mean,
how do I get this food to them, Mom? I'm almost done. I can't eat anymore. How do I get this food to them? FedEx? Yeah,
right.
We didn't have FedEx back then. Not yet.
Right.
Dr. Mary Warren, my guest. We're talking about our diet. Oh, by the way, spaghetti squash. Big fan of that. I get that when I go to Papa Do's. Put a little extra butter, extra cheese on it. Oh,
yeah. Little extra butter and olive oil.
Hey.
I mean, you could skip the cheese if you had just, you know, more butter and olive oil. So it's a good fat.
Man, I'm glad you gave me permission. I was joking with you. I'm glad you gave me permission for that extra butter. Sam, I'm going to tell my wife, Dr. Mary Warren said extra butter is good for
extra
eat the
butter.
Rest. Yeah. What is your opinion of fake meat, like those veggie beef patties that are on the market? What's your opinion of stuff like that?
You know, I'm not a fan. I'm into real food. I'm like, why not just have a turkey burger? Why not? Find some ways to just have like a vegetable meal. I'm not really, I think a lot of those are processed. And I mean, anything that's processed, that's, mm-hmm. you know, you get it out of a box or a can, you need to really think about, you know, what it is you're eating or consuming. You need to look at the labels and, you know, like what's in it. You know, is it high salt, which is generally a cheap salt because these are processed foods. So versus your own high quality sea salt that you have at home, right? Yeah, I'm a big fan of animal protein.
Yeah, eat real food, non-processed real food. Just watch the portion, man. When you were telling me that, I was remembering talk show host we had decades ago here on talk radio, Dr. Dina Dell. He said, just watch your portion, right? Eat everything, a little bit of everything. Just don't eat the whole cake. Just eat a small portion of it, a little bit of meat.
Absolutely. You'll
be fine.
It's all about balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You've got it.
I have a loved one who's really watching cholesterol intake because, and by the way, she tries to balance with good cholesterol, like more avocados, more nuts, and is really completely bent on avoiding all meat, all chicken, all beef at all times. And I've been looking for a cholesterol-free cheese that's more plant-based, cholesterol-free, like hot dogs or ham slices, like fake ham, fake hot dogs, things like that. I'm guessing you're not a big fan of the veggie-based processed meats or the veggie-based fake food.
I'm not, but let me give you a little something to think about for your family member for the cheese. You can substitute cashews really nicely for cheese because have her look that up, cashew cheese, and it's basically like the consistency of a hummus. And what you're doing is you're using nutritional yeast to give it that savory, salty flavor. It's pretty amazing. So you can make some healthy choices. One quick thing I love, I've got an acronym for good fats. It's BACON, which is butter, avocados, coconut oil, olive oil, and nuts, predominantly raw. So BACON is your acronym.
Butter, avocado, coconut oil,
olive oil,
and what was the E?
N.
Bacon
for
the
nuts.
N, sorry. For nuts. Got it.
Yeah, you got it.
If I learn how to spell, I know I'll be better. All right. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
We'll
call you back. Dr. Mary Warren joining us on the show. This is the Dana Show coming to you from South Texas. We're still on blessed soil. We're in Texas, in South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. She should be back with us on Monday. And you got me all week, the rest of the week, unless they pull the plug on me and they tell me, hey, we wish you well in your future endeavors. I got a medical note I want to share with you right after we pay some bills here in just a minute, just a second. Heads up for some of you dudes that are battling prostate tumors, prostate cancer possibilities, or prostate health. I know my audience, and I know we've got a bunch of dudes listening in right now, so I'm going to share that with you here in just a little bit, so stick around. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thanks for joining us today. The Dana Show coming to you from South Texas.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app, weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Appreciate you joining us on the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and thanks to producer Steve and producer Kane and all the gang working for the Dana Show. Check out the podcast. It's the condensed version of every program every day. It's the condensed version. So anywhere you get a podcast, you can listen to the Dana Show. And it's about a minute and 35, 45 minutes. That's how I catch up with what's going on with the Dana Show, especially on the weekends when I listen. I promised you this medical report. Dudes, heads up. You guys who are north of 50, I know we got a whole bunch listening in. 6 out of 10 low-risk prostate cancer patients in our country are choosing active surveillance of their prostate cancer condition or prostate tumor issue. They're choosing active surveillance rather than treatment. And the treatment would be going in there and snip, like removing, cutting it out, removing that tumor. Why? Because there doesn't seem to be too much of a difference between leaving it there and just monitoring versus taking it out. Because when you take it out, you remove that tumor, you got incontinence and, you know, I'm just going to say performance issues. Wink, wink, you know what I'm talking about. And some good news from Southwest Airlines. They said they're going to hire more people. They're going to staff better during the holiday season, try to prevent any of the shutdown and cancellations and the chaos that took place this past Christmas for Southwest Airlines. They went through just a bad period of all these flights that got canceled. They're going to double up, triple up, whatever they need to do next Christmas to make sure that they provide the personnel and the service that you deserve during Christmas. That note from Southwest. All right, back to producer Steve and some of the stupid news of the day. What audio did you find?
We didn't get a chance yesterday. So Democrat Ro Khanna was out there talking about SVB, Silicon Valley's collapse, and this was his logic behind why.
I know we don't live in a, it's old-fashioned to actually look at facts, but here's what I encourage people. Just go to Silicon Valley Bank's website and look at the leadership. For the first four people are white men. The fifth person is, you know, the only Mexican American in the board. It's actually not diverse. I mean, I don't know. Like, just look at the facts. Just go on the.
Oh my goodness! When all else fails, yeah, let's use a race card. Thanks for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez.